Blog Talk Radio.
Today, I hope all is well. Another Sunday, we made it to another Sunday. We seem like we was just doing this last week. All praises be to the Most High Yah. Glad to be here on the first day of the week with another edition of the Blog Talk Radio Show, The Yehuda Project. Man, it's been a long time. I think we have like, I don't even know how many episodes. I think 350 now. Incredible. Just incredible. It's a long time. And this is what, once a week? We might have one in the middle of the week during our earlier times, but really once a week. It's just incredible how long we have been here. It has truly been a blessing. You know, I want to thank you all who have made this possible and who have helped to make this possible. I really appreciate everything everybody has done. I remember when we first did it, it was a struggle. It was a struggle. But you know what? All praises be to the Most High. It has truly turned out to be a blessing. You know, that's why you got to keep doing what he tell you to do, because he'll make a way. Hallelujah. Praise be to the Most High. Yeah. All right, so I just have a question. You know, you, of course, I don't have anything in particular to talk about, but it's a lot of stuff to talk about. I mean, the world is just, it is just going to in a whole other direction. It's some scary stuff going on, you know, and I just don't know. I mean, you know, it's some serious stuff going on. I get all your emails. I see everything about Russia. I see everything about China, you know, and it is really some serious stuff happening right now. It really is. There's something going on. I'm telling you. Anybody have anything in particular you want to talk about, please feel free to do that. You know. It, but I was watching the stuff going on with Saudi Arabia. And this is some serious stuff jumping off here. You know, they have decided, you know, to cut their oil production every day. I'm going to play something for you here in a minute so you can kind of hear what's going on. The way it looks, it appears that they have sided with Russia, and it's going to change some things. I mean, really, it's going to, gas prices, you better get ready. Gas prices going up. Food's going up, everything's going up, you know, and let me let you hear it for yourself. Here we go.
Minister of State for Foreign Affairs, he joins us from Riyadh. Accusations, the kingdom's influence in the recent decision to cut oil production, pushing prices higher, at least in the short term, is siding with Russia. What's your response to that?
Saudi Arabia is not siding with Russia. Saudi Arabia is taking the side of trying to ensure the stability of the oil markets, which benefits consumers and producers alike. We have been doing this for decades. We try to make sure that we don't have erratic swings in prices so that we can have logic when it comes to investments, when it comes to lending, and when it comes to prices. The Kingdom of Saudi Arabia believes in this strongly. The decision to reduce the quotas was taken unanimously by 22 countries, and the markets have responded very positively to this. The price of oil has actually come down since last week, not gone up.
Yeah, and that is the irony, of course. So Washington says the economic fundamentals didn't justify a cut of that size at this point. And so the only beneficiary in their eyes, they say, is Vladimir Putin. The irony, of course, as I say, is that prices haven't actually moved any higher. As OPEC's largest producer, the kingdom must have considered the fallout when making the decision, which was a decision against the better judgment, reportedly, of other members who pushed back on it. How concerned are you by these threats by President Biden of consequences for the kingdom's actions?
Well, if you allow me, Becky, the other point I would like to make is that Saudi Arabia has supported the UN resolution with regards to the after the crisis began between Russia and Ukraine. Saudi Arabia has opposes the acquisition of territory by force. Saudi Arabia has had open lines of communications with both Ukraine and Russia, and we have been able to use those open lines of communications to work out an agreement on the exchange of prisoners of war. This would not have happened had we been viewed as taking sides between one side and the other. Saudi Arabia provides humanitarian assistance to Ukraine and continues to do so, and we're looking for ways to try to bring the two sides to the negotiating table to find a resolution, a negotiated resolution out of this issue. We don't believe that escalation is beneficial to Europe or beneficial to the world, frankly.
Joe Biden has repeatedly said now that there will be consequences to Saudi for this deal without revealing the details. Now, we do know that many congressmen and women are threatening to freeze arms sales to the kingdom, to pull U.S. troops from the kingdom, to limit OPEC's influence on the markets going forward. Does that worry you? What's the risk involved if these actions, these consequences, these alternatives are carried out?
I can't speak to the motivations behind statements by officials. What I can tell you is that the sale of defensive weapons to Saudi Arabia serves the interest of the U.S. and serves the interest of Saudi Arabia and serves the interest of security and stability in the Middle East. The presence of American forces in the Middle East has been here for many, many decades. They are here to protect the stability and security of the Middle East and the stability and security of the United States. The Kingdom of Saudi Arabia and the U.S. have had a very strong relationship for 8 decades. They have been very close partners in fighting extremism and terrorism, and maintaining stability and security in defending the region, and have been very close allies in terms of economic and trade and investment. And we hope that this relationship, and look forward to this relationship continuing for the next 8 decades.
So, there you have it. There is a war going on because Biden is telling everybody that they have basically joined forces with Russia. They have decided to cut oil production. I think it's about 2,000 barrels a day, which is definitely going to cause everything to go up. It's a very interesting time that we're living in. I mean, it is very interesting, I'm telling you. So with stuff going on all over the world, you know, and it's really something. I'm telling you to look forward to this because it is going to cause prices to rise. It just is. There's no other way around it, you know. And they said Biden is going to other countries begging for oil, places like Venezuela and different places. And if my memory serves me correctly, they just starved them out not too long ago, you know. And it's like, wow, this is really interesting. You know, I don't understand it. Let me see if we can get somebody else on here to see if it makes any sense. Just a second here. Let me see. 1, 2, 3.
Boom. I'm Jesse Waters along with Dagan McDowell, Harold Ford Jr., Martha McCallum, Greg Gutfeld. There he is. 5 o'clock in New York City, and this is The Five. President Biden caught getting his hands dirty with some serious midterm election interference. So where's the media and the Democrat outrage? The Saudis are exposing the administration's attempt to coerce their country to postpone oil cuts until after the midterms in an effort to keep gas prices down. Now, I'm no historian, but didn't someone else get impeached for that? Now, after the Saudis stood Joe up, despite his embarrassing courtship, the president's vowing to reassess our relationship with the oil-rich nation. Looks like Joe was wrong when he said nobody messes with a Biden.
We find ourselves in a position as beggars. The most powerful country in the world is now in a position of having to beg these third-rate countries.
The Democrats will do anything to try to keep gas from increasing before the election. He's going hat in hand to dictatorships like Venezuela, pleading with them to produce more oil, at the same time that he's alienating longtime partners in places like Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates.
If you think the president's done reassuring the Saudis to help him in November, stay tuned.
What's your message to Saudi Arabia about it?
In what way, sir?
Stay tuned.
But it doesn't stop there. Biden straight up lying to the American people, telling them that he's making skyrocketing inflation better. Joe even resorting to making this absurd claim about Republicans in an attempt to sway the midterm vote.
We've got an election in the month. Voters have to decide. Democrats are working to bring down the cost of things and to talk about it around the kitchen table. Republicans campaign every day on an agenda to raise your costs. Republican wins, inflation is going to get worse. It's that simple.
Martha, are you seeing any similarities with what Biden is doing with the Saudis and Trump was accused of doing with Ukraine?
Yeah. All right. Any questions? Anybody have any questions? Because this is going to affect us. It's going to affect us. The prices are going up. Everything else is going to go up, and that's just the way it is, you know. And, I mean, you know, these are the things that we look forward to every day. We are living in one of the most unstable times that I can remember, you know. I mean, we've always had issues one way or the other with one country or another, but to be in a position like this, I mean, you just have to be able to roll with whichever way they go and be prepared for whatever happens. Because that means oil prices is going to go up, heating is going to go up, gas is going to go up, the transportation of food is getting ready to go up again. I mean, I went to the grocery store this morning just to buy some butter, you know, the box of butter with the four sticks in it. First it was $7 a box, now they brought it down to $5.49 a box. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, seriously, this stuff is ridiculously high. You know, and you know, you should see people in there with coupons and calculators and all kind of stuff, because who can afford it? You're working to eat. It is ridiculous. So, you know, these are the things that we are facing in this time. We knew it was coming. We braced ourselves. We've been telling ourselves that this was what was going to happen for a long time. And, I mean, we're here now, you know, among all the other stuff that's going on in the news and all the other things that are it's stuff happening all over the place. Mass shootings, body dismemberments. I mean, just crazy stuff is happening all over the place. Just because people can. More teenagers with guns in their hands, 15-year-olds shooting up, this 15-year-old just shot and killed 5 people. 15 years old. And I have a question for you. I just want to know, do you think it would be feasible to make the parents responsible for what the children do? Because everybody was like, well, you don't know where they are all the time. You're supposed to at 15 years old. So should the parents be held responsible when they just go through and they just killing people? Because they tell them, we're going to try them as an adult. Okay, and what, I mean... So the responsibility is his, but he's still underage. Do you all think that would be fair to hold the parents responsible? Do you think that would make a difference? Do you think people would be more apt to figure out where their children are? Because I don't understand how kids can just run wild to the point where you don't know where they are and what they're doing. I mean, forgive me if I'm wrong. Maybe I'm from a different time. And maybe I was a little strict, but you're supposed to know where your children are now. Not to say that they'll tell you they're going one place and go somewhere else. But you should have some sort of, you should make a concerted effort to find out where your children are. Somebody please push one and tell me how you feel about that. Because, I mean, you know, it's just getting ridiculous now. If that's the case, you might as well emancipate them at 15 and let them be adults. Because nobody's being held responsible for the fact that these people are losing their lives. You know? And years ago when you had kids that were defiant and kids that were in trouble, you had different programs that they could go into. They had mentoring programs. They had Boys and Girls Clubs. They had Big Brothers. They had counseling made available. Now, guess what? You don't get all that unless they commit a crime. Now, if your kid get in trouble, the parents got to pay for their stay. Everything has changed. Everything has changed. So, I mean, you know, it's really different now. You know, I used to be a foster parent. I fostered a lot of children in my city whose parents were still in this city. They would go visit their parents on the weekend because the parent just could not deal with the kid, or something happened to the kid in an unfortunate situation. But it seems like the level of care is changing. You know, the level of protection, the level of understanding, and all of the programs that were once in place, they're not there anymore. And nobody's paying for it. And that's the part I don't get. If we can spend money and send money all of these other countries, why come we can't spend money to get our children under control? just asking a question. And you know what? And I think it comes from, and I know it comes from, you know, all of this violent behavior, all this stuff has been selling for a long time. I blame the music industry. I blame the movie industry. I blame the video game industry. I blame all of these people for influencing the way our children have been able to mimic off of what they do. They said some of these video games are so violent, it's terrible. The music industry, all this gangster rap stuff and all this killing and all this, this stuff sold records. And they even some of the artists even said that. They didn't want regular music anymore. But if you wrote something about shooting up the neighborhood and riding through the neighborhood, they would jump on it. And this is what we have produced. Do you think the parents have something to do with that? Do you think that the parents, do you think it starts at home? Let's start with that. Do you think it starts at home? Because they can say, okay, well, it's the reason why it is the mother, the father ain't in the house. Well, guess what? I had a house where it wasn't a father in the house. And my kids didn't go shooting up nobody. Matter of fact, I was a single parent with foster kids. None of them I've seen on the news thus far has shot and killed anybody. Hold on a minute. Let me get you. Area code 717. Your mic is open. You're on the air.
I think it depends because there are some parents that are aware of what their kids are influenced by, like the social media and stuff like that. And I would say it is definitely social media's fault because that's what they popularize is like the gun violence, the music, and everything. It's all a brainwashing and conditioning because if you see, I just watched a video the other day where they saying like how on TikTok in China, they don't let their kid, like on TikTok, there's certain things that are streamed. And for them, it's like people that are successful, people that are doing well in life. And then here in America, they show on TikTok the most stupidest things, like people pulling pranks and like trying to get like clout, like trying to get fame through doing silly stuff on social media instead of actually having children want to do like better for themselves and stuff. So I will blame social media for that. And if they really want a change with the children, they need to start with the children. These are the next up. These are the people that are going to be running the country at some point. So you have to start with them, and they know that, and that's the thing. They go for the kids first, and they destroy the kids so that they can still be empowered because they'll just be like, oh, well, these kids are unfit. They can't run our country. That's why we still have to be empowered, and that's unfair, and I think that's super selfish. And I also will blame the parents, too, because there are some parents that know what their kids do. There are some parents that are aware that their children listen to drill music and their kids do this stuff, and they influence it. They let their kids do that, and they don't do anything about it. And it's also an environmental factor as well, the environment that they're in, the people that they're around. And that's when the parents have to step up and actually start being parents and start teaching these kids that this stuff isn't okay. Because it starts with them because their parents are supposed to be the set example for their kids. It starts with the family, absolutely. It starts with the parents having to step their foot down to their kids and be like, hey, listen, this is how it's going to be and this is why it has to be like this. And generally sit there and talk to their kids to let them know, like, if they don't do nothing, then their kid is either going to end up dead or on the street. And honestly, something needs to be done about that. So that's just my input on it.
I appreciate that. Thank you for that. I'm going to put you on mute for a minute. I agree with the young lady, and this is a young lady. She's 21 years old. You know, from her standpoint, this is what it is. And I agree with her 100%. Me personally, I think the parents should be held responsible. I don't think that other parents or other people should have to go away and grieve and miss their children and miss each other and have to go through this mourning period. And then the parents of the child who did it, they get to go see their kid in jail. It's like, no. That's not fair for the parents. They will suffer for the rest of their lives. And I think that the parents for a 15-year-old kid, you should be held responsible for where he is. Area code 276, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yes, first of all, there's some laws that need to be changed. I knew of a parent who went to jail. He had three sons with a single father. And at the school night, two of the children decided that they want to come in when they want to come in. And he said, no, you will be in the house between 9:30 and 10 o'clock at night and no later. No excuses. Well, they gave a hard time, and he had to discipline them, spank them. One of the boys decided to go and complain to his school counselor that his father had spanked him, and he feel he was too old to be spanked. And the counselor went to the principal. They called the cops on the dad. The dad explained to them, which he should not have to, since he is taking care of his responsibilities, and they still claim that you're not supposed to hit a child. You're supposed to just speak to a child. Well, some children don't adhere to speaking. And when you're responsible as the parent, you have to take orders from Yah. Don't spare the rod, because some children do need it. And you know best which of your children needs the rod and which don't. Some children are fabulous. You can talk to them, or you can give them a certain punishment, you know, no watching your favorite TV show or whatever you choose, and you won't have to hit them, but they adhere. Some don't. My grandmother taught me that you bend the tree while it is young, meaning train up a child from its very small. And yes, when they go off track, you snap them back on that track immediately. Stop being always a bestie to all your friends nowadays. Oh, it's a, you know, modern fabulous thing. Yeah, you can be your child friend, but you know what? There's a line that you are a parent, and that's your child. And that's never to be crossed. I don't care if the child reaches 100 years old. That's just a rule. But we want to be friends, and you know, there's nothing wrong with being friendly. Don't get me wrong. They can be friend, but that line must never be moved or compromised. Because when that happens, you leave the door wide open. And if you don't discipline your child, guess what? The police out there, they will. And they're not going to discipline your child with love. So the parent needs to do it. And teenagers, I can speak because I raise children. They'll tell you, oh, don't worry, Mom. I'm going for, my friend and I, we just go into the mall. Okay, fine. But then you get a call from a priest and can tell you that your child was shoplifting, and you know that you raised that child better. So at times you can't always blame the parents for teenagers, because parents don't always know where their child is going to be or what they do. The parent is not with the child 24/7. And the way how this society is, parents need to work. Sometimes two checks are needed. Sometimes there's only one check. But there needs to be order. And the only way is when you discipline some children by spanking them. I don't recommend spanking for everything, but for things that need to be, then it needs to be done. This business about the school and the cops going to tell me I can't discipline my children, when they brought that stuff home from school, that paper, I told them, and I called the school the following day, you did not feel the pains of my 18 hours of labor for my twins, which were first. You don't feed, clothe, shelter, or pay anything. You don't provide even medical. You don't take time to take them to any appointment to make sure they're healthy. So you cannot tell me how to raise them. If you want that authority, you and them, then y'all live together. I let the school know. Because if any occasion had arisen that I had to discipline my kids by spanking, oh, you better believe I would have done it. You can't play. You can't always.
Let me ask you a question. How old do you think that they have to be before they're too old to be spanked?
I don't have really, well, there's a, if the child is, I should say about 14, 15, you might not want to. But if the situation is that a spanking is needed, then it's needed. And you have to let the child, the children have to fear someone. That you can't always be this softy with every child. Some people have a nice personality. Some people understand. Some children, you might just spank them lightly once and they get the message. But they're children that are not that way at all. And you don't want them to grow up and be, you know, manhandled or shot to death by the cops. They have to know that, no. I'm not afraid to spank my kids. I wasn't afraid when they were 14. As a matter of fact, I had an incident with my daughter. I would drop her to school because I worked, even I went in late during the day, and I dropped her in front of the school, the schoolyard, where the buses come and the kids get off and they go through the door and they go in the school building. Well, I didn't get any letters, but I gave the school instructions to call my job because I realized that something was up, that I wasn't getting reports, but I was getting phone calls from the teachers that so-and-so is not in school today. Are you okay? Is it because you're sick? Is she sick? I said, no, everybody is fine. What do you mean she wasn't in school today? She wasn't in school. So another teacher calling the same thing. Wait a minute now. I'm dropping this child off to school, seeing her go in the school building. She wasn't in school. So I parked far away because back then I could pass for one of the school children. And I see my messy daughter. She went to the bus stop and took the bus to the railroad station and took herself to a place called Brooklyn to see her boyfriend. Unbeknownst to her, I was watching. The car is faster than the train to get there. And I parked and I stood there. The last car she expects to see is a car with me sitting in it. And I watched her, and I gave her time to get up to that apartment because I knew where it was. And I took myself there and rang the bell. And, oh, his mother was shocked. I said, no, I don't speak that language. Send my daughter out here before I call the cops. I said, the next time you allow this child of mine to come here during school hours, believe you me, you not only will see me, but you will see a police standing next to me, and I will press charges because you are supposed to know better. So some parents don't mind what their children do, but I was one that cared what they did. And
well,
I had to discipline.
Go ahead.
I did. I wasn't afraid of the school or the police. My concern was you are going to grow up and be well and obey and do what you're supposed to do. I don't want to visit you in a jail cell. I don't want to have to bury you before God's time of calling you to sleep. And the reason why he made me your parent, it's because this is what I'm supposed to do. Simple for me.
All righty. Well, I thank you for your comment. I'm going to put you back on mute. I think that I agree with you. I do agree to a certain point. I believe that, you know, when they get 14, 15 years old, in my opinion, they're too big to get corporal punishment. But I believe that some punishment should be. Now, let me tell you what they had us do when we were foster parents, because we were never allowed to put our hands on other people's children. That was a definite no-no. But what they did was they made us go down to the juvenile hall and file truancy charges on them. And the police would pick them up, and the police would lock them up, and the police would call us to come and get them. And this was a cycle. And every time they did that, it was meant to be a deterrent, so that they would get tired of it, and they would get tired of the same cycle, you know. But the issue is that no one can be where they are at all times. No one can can, because, I mean, you can try your best to pinpoint where they are. And I've watched some people get their children involved in sports and different things where they were active and they were too busy to involve themselves in the negative things. However, this situation now, something has got to be done. I know people have to go to work every day. They have to work. However, you still have to parent, because working is one thing, but parenting is something else. And do you think it is fair for a person, your child, to go out and murder somebody else's child or somebody else's family member, and then nothing happens to you? I mean, at that age. I want to play this for you real quick. I just want to play this real quick. It's only 2 minutes. Here we go.
Today, with a developing story, Clayton County police are trying to track down the gunman who killed two people outside a townhouse. The shooting happened yesterday on Flint River Road off of Terra Boulevard in the Jonesboro area. Today's Mark Teichner has the latest. He's been on this ever since from Clayton County Police Headquarters. Mark, good morning. What can you tell us?
Yeah, it's a terrible situation, as you can imagine. This gunfire ringing out in the middle of the afternoon on Flint River Road in this townhouse community, and two people have lost their lives. Now, Clayton County Police have not identified either of the victims. We did talk with a woman who was living in that complex, and she says at least one of them was a young man. In fact, this woman tells this heartbreaking tale about how she heard gunfire, and at first she wasn't sure it was gunfire, but then she saw children running. She went outside, and that's when she saw this young man who had been shot in the parking lot. She actually sat there with him while he passed away. As this was taking place, other residents called 911 and then ended up directing police to these victims. No arrests have been made as a result of that case, and we did talk with this woman again about how she tried to comfort this young guy as he was dying, and the message she had for his family.
I was holding his hand. I was holding his hand, and I was just trying to make sure that he stayed calm as possible. And at that point, I knew he was wanting to shop. And he was taking his last breath, and his last words were, "Mama, Mama, Mama." And it gave me a chill inside of my body that I just will never, ever, ever forget.
And she says she wants the family to know that he was not alone when he died. At this point, police have not released any information about a possible suspect description or a motive for this crime. If we do get any of that information, or if they do release the name of the victims who died there, we'll let you know right away.
One more.
Every day I make around 10,000.
One more. Here we go. One more.
Before using felt,
it's nonstop. It's nonstop. It does not stop. I don't care who and what, it doesn't stop.
As we begin with this horrific mass shooting in Raleigh, North Carolina, police report a 15-year-old suspect shot two people in a residential neighborhood before fleeing to a nearby walking trail where he continued to open fire.
At least five people were killed. Officers arrested the suspect last night after an hours-long manhunt. Earlier today, North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper addressed a community in shock.
Today we're sad, we're angry, and we want to know the answers to all the questions.
No neighborhood, no parent, no child, no grandparent. No one should feel this fear in their communities.
Authorities say the suspect was taken to the hospital where he is listed in critical condition. CBS News correspondent Elise Preston has been following this from Raleigh. She joins us now with more. Hi there, Elise. So what more do we know about the suspect and the victims?
Well, Elaine and Errol, good afternoon to you. We are right in front of this hospital here where one victim remains in critical condition. I can tell you that 59-year-old woman is turning 60 tomorrow. It's her birthday tomorrow, but she is here fighting for her life, according to police. Meanwhile, we also know that another victim who was wounded is an officer. They were also released from the hospital. Five people were killed. The youngest victim killed was just 16 years old. And we're hearing more about the other victims who were gunned down by that alleged suspect. A family member has identified one of those victims as a mother of three who often ran in the area.
It's chilling, Elise, because the suspect opened fire on a trail, right, where people go to relax. That sounds so horrific and brazen, and we're speaking on a day after a decision was made for the Parkland shooter, Nicholas Cruz, and 2 days after a decision was made for Alex Jones to pay relatives of victims from the Sandy Hook shooting. America is traumatized by this. How is the community there even trying to process this in Raleigh?
Well, Errol, the governor last night, he said that that alleged gunman, that he terrorized a relatively quiet area for hours as he was on this active shooting spree and police were trying to catch him. And you can definitely see and feel those sentiments that you also just pinpointed, fear, devastation, sadness, shock. But also what we're seeing here in this community is numbness. I spoke to a man who is a father of three, and I said, you know, I'm so sorry that this is happening in your community. And he said, it is happening everywhere. This is, of course, the latest mass deadly shooting here in the United States. The state of North Carolina has seen 18 mass shootings this year, and the year is not out. So a lot of people just processing. They're also questioning, how did this even happen? Even though that we're continuously seeing this, the alleged gunman is only 15 years old. Police have not said much about him other than that he is a 15-year-old white male suspect. But police, or excuse me, community members here are questioning, how did he even get this gun?
Yeah, so as this investigation unfolds, we did hear from the mayor earlier today, he said action must be taken when it comes to this issue of gun violence. Let's listen to some of that.
We have doubled our determination now to end senseless gun violence that has gripped on our country and now on our city. We have to do something.
So, Elise, what else are local leaders saying about safety in the community? Because this is something we've heard, as you know, time and time again in the wake of these kinds of horrific shootings.
Well, it sounds like gun violence has been a focus here in Raleigh for a while, or earlier this year, actually just about 6 weeks ago. The city exchanged gift cards for guns off the street, and they exchanged about 500 guns. For gift cards, but also here in North Carolina, they're just focused on safety in general. What is interesting to note is that the police chief here in Raleigh was not here at the time of the shooting. She was actually in Dallas meeting with law enforcement officials from across the country on public safety. So again, this is just something that people are focused on across the country, but definitely here in Raleigh, and they want this to stop.
And let me say this, it's not just white kids, it's black kids too. I can pull up countless. We can do this all day. Countless incidents. Black teenagers, white teenagers, Asian teenagers. It's you know what? It's getting out of control. And, you know, we have to be able. And you know what the sad part is about it? I wrote a program for teenagers years ago. It was over 20 years ago. And I just wish I had the money to be able to put that in action, because this is, and like I said, with the grant monies and the nonprofit organizations, they don't have the funding anymore to do it. You know, this is going to have to take a community. It's going to have to take people that have money to be able to care enough to say, we need to do something about this, because this is just ridiculous. I mean, not to mention how many of our young kids is popping pills and somebody told me the other day that then this is a person that's in a management position and was going to give this young girl a job. She was going to give this young black girl a job. She came in. She said, I asked her, do you have anything in, you know, you have to take a drug test. Is there anything that you need to be worried? Oh, no, I'm good. She takes the drug test and comes back with meth in her system. Meth. You know, it's something is it's almost like it's like the young lady said, it's an assault on our young people to take their minds. It's an assault on our young community to take their mind. They know they know they can't get the adults, because we have reasoned ourselves, some of the majority of us have reasoned ourselves to a point where we know right from wrong. That's why I say some of us. But if you can get the children's minds, And I really still believe this starts at home. You got to watch what they watch on television. You have to pay attention to what kind of music they listen to. You have to deprogram them from things that they're exposed to around other kids. This is what parenting is about. And it's not okay anymore to just put them in front of a television and say, I got to work. No. The responsibility as a parent is you're going to have to do something because these children are going, and it's not always mental illness. Sometimes it's just a defiant teenager that's angry for one reason or another. This boy took 5 people out of here. He killed 5 people and injured 3 other people. If there's going to have to be some responsibility by the community and by the parents, I think the parents should be held responsible. I just really do. I really do. I think the parents should be held responsible. Because then we're so sorry, we don't know what happened. That's not good enough. These people have lost their loved ones. You know, and it just, I don't know whether we're going to have to put some sort of, you know, boot camp together. We're going to have to do something. Something is going to have to be done because if not, you know, this is going to be a country that's going to implode from the inside. It's over. We fighting other people's wars outside the country, and we got a war going on right here domestically with this gun stuff. It's ridiculous. And nobody is going to tell me they can't get this under control. It's ridiculous. Please feel free if you want to push one. It's really getting ridiculous, and what kills me is as soon as something happens, everybody in the neighborhood don't say nothing to the police. Don't y'all tell nobody until it's your son or until it's your daughter. And then what you going to feel? And you know, we tired of the mothers and fathers walking around with T-shirts on with their kids' face on the T-shirt. It's ridiculous. Just found out the other day, my granddaughter called me and said, Grandma, you just not going to believe this. She said, you know, my friend's baby's father just got out of jail. I said, yeah, I know that. He was shot and killed the other day. She said that he was in the car with another girl, and they rolled up on both sides of the car and just started shooting. Both of them were shot up, and he was killed. He's got a 3-year-old son. He is gone. This stuff is getting out of control. Guess what? The Most High has left us here for a reason. We're going to have to do something. We're going to have to come up with some sort of plan for the communities, because like I said, it's not just a white thing, it's a black, I've been watching this stuff, it is these teenagers, this is an all-out assault on our kids, and they sit around, I see you 478, they sit around and play these brutal, blood-curdling videos. They ought to be banned in the United States, where they killing people in the video games, and guess what, they want to do it for real. And it does have an impact on their thoughts. Their minds aren't even developed yet. And then you think about it, they sitting here with 8 hours of the day, clicking this little mechanism in their hands, shooting up people and going to the next level, shooting up some more people. You cannot tell me this is not affecting their brains. Area code 478, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yes, ma'am, and I think you're absolutely right. You know, we need to do something. I was sitting here listening to Sister Rachel. She said they are banned. But, it didn't come too late because we didn't have all this culture. You know, it was all right when it was just us killing ourselves and the police killing us. It was okay when that was going on. And that is what has led into all this. Now everybody killing everybody, and they don't know what to do. And that's what it is, because he was fine when it was just us getting killed. But now all of a sudden, it's everybody killing everybody, everybody doing everything. And it's a problem. But you're right when you say that it starts at home with the parenting. And that's why we got to grab hold of these children that we have, these young adults that we have now, and start getting with them to make better decisions as spouses and their behavior. Because, you know, I mean, I see some young folks, they make some, they're making, and I'm not saying that we didn't as youngsters. We did. We made our mistakes. But these are the mistakes that I'm seeing being made now, man. These kids now, they make us seem like we were a joke.
Yeah.
A gun to them is like, shalom, everybody. A gun to these kids today is a toy. That is the modern day tool that every child is trying to get. It's not the new Jordan. It's not the PlayStation game. It is a gun now. And it's sad to say that.
We got to do something, y'all. We got to do something. You know, because you know what? We're going to lose a whole, everybody want to be gangster. We're going to lose a whole generation of men and women if we don't do something. They are taking out anybody and everybody they can think of. And you know yourself, when we was 15, we did some dumb stuff. And look back on it, you're glad that it didn't go too far. They're not even going to get that opportunity anymore. And the sad part about it is the jails can't hold them. There's so many of them, the jails can't hold them.
Mm-hmm. And then when they get in these prisons and stuff, these young boys in these prisons, they get in the prison and they just taking the prison over.
That's crazy. We got to do, something has got to be done. The parents, somebody has to be held responsible for what the children do. You know, but guess what? It's the devil's job is to kill, steal, and to destroy.
Yeah.
It is to kill, steal, and to destroy. I was so upset. I had to tell my granddaughter, like, you know, we don't try to run your life, but you have to be careful. Because you don't know what these guys are doing when they're not around you. I'm sure that girl had no idea that he was out there doing whatever it was he was doing, or they call it beef with another person. She knew nothing about the beef. All she knew was she was letting him drive her car, and he probably was, I don't know whether he was doing something in her car, because my thing was, how did they know what her car looked like? How did they know where she lived? Mm-hmm. So some kind of way they connected him to her and her car, and they were leaving out to, this was in the daytime.
Wow. They're getting bolder and bolder.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was just saying, they're getting bolder and bolder. I mean, I don't know. I mean, all I can say is that somehow, some way, man, we got to pray to get out of here, because, I mean, I just don't see it. Changing, because they have such a culture that they have created for this nation that is just unreal. And I don't think they realized that it was going to get like that.
I don't either. You know, I've never, it's so violent. It's just so violent. Everything is violent. The music is violent. If it's not violent, it's raunchy. You know, excuse me, it's just a lot going on right now. It's just, everything is just violence. There's no morals anymore. There's nobody to say, you know, and yes, I do believe that the only thing that's going to change this is for them to know Yah. I do. I believe that's the only thing that's going to change it. But in the meantime, we have to have a different judicial system, because something is not happening like it should be. I'm going to play that too. They said that there are so many police officers in Chicago that are quitting. They said, we had enough. I'm done. Quitting. I have a love for the job, but I just can't put myself out there no more. They're leaving the major cities and maybe going to some of the suburban places. You know, because the judicial system, the system that everybody stands by, is broken down.
Yep.
Like you said, like the sister said earlier, they have to fear somebody, and they don't fear our judicial system. They don't. It's ridiculous.
I mean,
on. Let me play this one for you. Here we go.
A story here of an eyewitness saying a teenage boy was shot from behind while simply walking across the street in Avondale tonight. And good evening to you. I'm Cherie Palello.
And I'm Ashley Kirkland. And right now, Cincinnati police have a large area blocked off at Reading Road and Rockdale Avenue as they investigate. And WLWT News 5's Dan Griffin is there live from that scene. Dan, what do we know so far?
Well, Ashley, I can tell you it's an extensive scene here going well behind me. Witnesses tell me that a teen boy was walking across Reading Road here. You can see the plethora of evidence markers here. We are told he's now at Children's Hospital in critical condition. The situation so serious that homicide is investigating tonight.
I ran outside without my walker because a child is just something wrong for us.
Jennifer Foster rushed to the scene at Reading Road and Rockdale Avenue. Witnesses say a teen boy was shot from behind in a drive-by in broad daylight. Foster quickly realized the teen is someone she knows.
I just passed him this morning, you know, and he knocked on my door yesterday morning. And he said, Mr. Lynn, this is your package because you don't even want to order dog treats for your dog. And I said, thank you, baby. And he went on up the stairs.
The shooting happened at about 7:30 tonight near Family Dollar. On the street corner, a sign from Cincinnati Works promoting fatherhood, brotherhood, neighborhood to stop violence in the streets. Mitch Morris says it's a sad night in the city.
Well, my guys was just up here working tonight. Because we came out here at 4:30. And worked till it started raining right over here in this lot right here. And so when it started raining, we called it off. Wasn't a half hour later, we got a call that it was shooting up here. So we back up here now.
With more than a dozen markers on the ground and frustration and heartache in the air, this community is traumatized by another shooting.
All I know is somebody's hurt real bad right now. So it's a family that we just need to pray for.
Can you imagine? This is everything. I can go on and on and on. This don't stop. This does not stop. It don't stop. It's just constant. It does not stop. And police is, well, wait a minute, community pleads for a solution after more shootings. It's going to take the family members. It's going to take you. Everybody wants, look, if we, listen, we have been inundated. Whew, we have been inundated with foolishness. And this is what you get when you have a society that is, they care about nothing but the way they look, how they dress, what they smoking, you know what I'm saying, who they sleeping with. This is as far as it goes. So you, and I'm not talking about all the parents, but you have parents, like the lady said earlier, area code 276, you got parents that don't want to be parents. Parents are so busy being glamorous, they can't be parents. They so busy trying to be like Beyonce or Jay-Z, they can't be parents. And the responsibility as a parent is you have to parent your children. And then when something like this happens, everybody backs up with deniability. Well, I didn't know where he was. Well, I can't be with him all the time. Well, I'm working, and you still are a parent. You have to parent your children. So guess what? If you can't do it, then we have to find a solution where it can be done in a way that he's not a threat to society. We have to do something. And the parents are going to be held responsible for what everybody else decides to do as a society. You're either going to pay now or you're going to pay later. Because if you can't, we can't just keep being victims. Jail is not getting it. Everybody want to be gangster. Everybody want to be a thug. Everybody, and like you said, they go to jail, shoot. There ain't none of that jail, shoot. Now, what did one of the boys said? I can lay it down for 5 years. I can do a nickel. That ain't nothing.
You know, Sister Young, when you're talking about, the thing is, and I'm not for any abuse of any individual. I don't believe in that. And I didn't believe in it when I was working in the prison system. But I do know there's a stark difference when I first started working in the prison system to when I left. When I first started working in the prison, it was a place, especially here in Georgia, it was a place you didn't want to go. There were consequences about everything. There were some things that were done You want to go and pull your little weedy whack out on a female? Oh, we had something for you. And it wasn't pretty and it wasn't nice. You want to sit there and talk stuff back to the warden? Oh, you was drilled. It wasn't nice. You learn respect one way or the other. You didn't want to be there. But then, over time, and please don't take this the wrong way, you or Sister Rachel or any woman that's on the line. But then what we call it, mommies of America, can't be doing my son that way where your son came to me. He came to me. You didn't do nothing to him at home, so now I'm finna handle him. And that's the way the system used to work when I first came in. But over time, it got to a point where let's give them Xboxes. Let's give them PlayStation. Let's give them flat-screen TVs. Let's give them microwaves. You know, the first time we gave them a microwave in the prison, you know what happened? Somebody put hot oil in a microwave and threw it on somebody's face and burned the face off. And I'm sitting there going, why are we doing this? There are no consequences for actions that need to be severe. You can't slap somebody on the wrist that's thinking about murdering somebody. He need to go somewhere and be put somewhere where he can think about what he did.
I agree.
You know, we can't keep babying these men. And that's what apparently is going on. We can't keep babying these men. And I'm gonna say this, and I know this is gonna get me a little backlash too, probably. But I'm gonna say it, and I'm a firm believer in it. And this go to every sister that can hear me. You gotta quit saying you can raise a man. Quit saying you can raise a man. You may not like your baby daddy, but you better get him involved in that life. Because I'm telling you. Because I know there's some sisters out there that do not want the man involved in the life. You better get that man involved in that boy's life. He needs some kind of authority figure in his life to let him know that there are bounds and consequences for his actions. We got to quit seeing it because it's mostly a male thing. You don't really see females out there, you know, yeah, you got a few here and there, but you don't really see the females out there killing and murdering and drive-by shooting and all that stuff. It's mostly a male problem. And where that problem starts at, we got these little boys, and we want to put the most expensive pair of baby shoes on. Man, that joker wears some brogans every day of the week is for me. I used to have money, but my son never wore no $100 shoes. Never. You want a $100 pair of shoes, you go out and get you a job and earn. We don't make them earn stuff no more. We don't make them work no more. Pick up chicken eggs, pick up leaves, cut grass. We don't make our kids do anything. All they do is sit around, like you said, play these doggone video games, be happy about it, and get on these doggone phones. I'd be glad we do go to the wilderness. Ain't no phones. We go to the city of Old Wall Village. Ain't no phones. I'd be glad we go. Ain't a phone in sight. I'd be so happy. So I see tons of people walking around, could run right into a wall without lifting up their head because they're so into the phone. None of them have any social skills because they don't know how to communicate. We got to start talking to them. I hope I ain't take up too much of your time, sir.
No, you didn't. And you know what? I agree with you 100%. Only if the father is wanting to be a father, because there's a whole lot of them out there that's acting idiotic, too. It's a whole, that's why I said it's a, you know what, the only thing that works is when you make them accountable for what happens to your children. You bring these children in the world, you're responsible for what they do. Now, I'm going to tell you how crucial it is now. The parents are killing the kids because, you know what I'm saying, they don't want to be responsible. This is a wicked society that we are living in today. The stuff you said earlier is wonderful. It sounds great. It would be great in theory. But the fact of the matter is some of the parents that are supposed to be parents aren't parents. Like the sister said, they want to be friends with them. Or the men want them to hang out with them and be their boys and all that. No, you have to be. But you know what? If you don't know how to do it, you never. never had nobody show you how to be one. What you're exhibiting and giving off to them, foolishness. It's foolishness. It's just our whole society as a whole is screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
It's screwed up. You know, and most of us, most of the babies that are born were not planned. They came out of whatever. They came as a result of whatever. And the way they live is whatever. It's just, you know, I'm gonna get these stamps. I'm gonna feed these kids. I'm gonna get them grown, but I'm gonna still live my life too. Everybody's still trying to live a life that's over. And
yeah.
I wish it would be that simple. I really do, Brother Yerushalayim. If it was that simple, listen. But when you look at the totality of it all, when you look at what we dealing with every day, it's just a different ballgame. They have systematically destroyed our young people. Nobody's really paying attention anymore to there's no moral standard. What moral standard do they go by? And then when I was going into prisons and the jails, that's when everybody got saved in jail. That's when they sat down and read that Bible. That's when they sat down and had a moment and started reading that Bible. That's when they realized at some point that this ain't supposed to be the way it's supposed to be. But guess what? When they got out, they lost all that. As soon as they got out, all that went out the window too. This is gonna be something. And what I'm afraid of is if the regular policing is not gonna work, and if the regular stuff is not gonna work, what kind of policing system are they gonna bring in to replace what we already dealing with?
Military.
Yep.
Yeah. What are we gonna deal with now? Are we gonna deal with some sort of robotic system or somebody who really don't have no emotions one way at all whatsoever? No, I mean, what's next?
Military system.
Yeah. And I remember years ago, and I know, let me tell y'all this. I remember years ago watching a video. I don't know whether it was in Texas or whether it was in, I think it was in Texas. I think it was either Fort Worth or it was Dallas. But they were actually doing drills on how to take down black people, how to take them off the street. I watched this years ago. They were training the police departments on how to take down black men and how to take down black women. It was almost like they were going to gather them up for something. You know, we can't forget those concentration camps are still out there. All that stuff that we learned years, you know the stuff I'm talking about that we learned years ago that nobody's really talking about anymore. That those concentration camps are still there.
Yep.
I wonder if they're allowing it to escalate to this point so that they can use them.
That's true. That's so true.
That'd be like
throwing Jacob trouble, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You better believe it. Yes, sir. Because, you know, we learned that, 10, 15 years ago that them concentration camps was out there?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
And now all of a sudden it's so bad that can't nobody get it under control?
It just make you wonder.
I'm just saying. And you know what? I mean, they got them out there for a reason. Y'all better pay attention to what we're talking about. You better pay attention. So you ain't gonna tell me they can't get this under control if they want to. They just making it be so bad that they gotta come up with another solution.
That's sad.
It really is. But I mean, you know, when everybody, I don't know what to do. I'm so afraid. I'm just so sad. I just don't know. We're just afraid in our neighborhoods, and we just don't. It's for a reason. life was in the hand of a 15 to 16 year old kid.
Shouldn't they have?
They need to start talking to their children and being real about this thing. Everybody think we conspiracy theorists. And, oh, all y'all talk about is the conspiracy stuff. Well, guess what? None of the stuff we just said is conspiracy. It's real. They just ain't talking about it no more like it was back then. It still exists. They still got them UN trucks. You know them UN trucks that look like military police trucks?
Yep. They still there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you heard about Haiti, right?
Say that again.
You heard about Haiti, right?
No.
No. No,
I didn't hear.
Haiti. You know, the U.S. military just went down to Haiti. They got all that gang. Yes, they got all that gang violence, the gangs, and took over the ports and stuff. So now the U.S. military has went into Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's sort of similar to what we're talking about, is gang violence. They're using the military.
Mm-hmm. Let them call martial law and see what happens.
Them young boys ain't going to want no day of it.
Let them call martial law and see what happens. But this is all... I believe this is done purposely, because you're not going to tell me you can't get a control over this. We got to get control over this. This is, and guess what? It's going to have to be the black neighborhood to get control of the black neighborhood. I keep telling y'all that. It's going to take us to get control of us. Let him pick up your child and he come up missing and you don't know where he at.
Uh-huh.
You better start getting real with this. This is some real stuff jumping off every day. Mm-mm. Some serious stuff. I mean, you know, it just is what it is. It's just... You know, and they put it on TV, and they put it on YouTube, and they put it on Twitter, and they put it on all this other stuff, so you can see it and just get overwhelmed with it. This is just way too much. Oh, you guys got to do something. Oh, you want us to do it? You're going to leave it in our hands? Okay, well, we're going to do it. Like you said, they ain't got no love for them. They don't have no love for them at all whatsoever. Prison, in my opinion, they ought to bring back the chain gang and put their butts to work. And I used to
that's
say that all the time.
When I first
say that again.
That's what it was when I first started working in prison. The chain gang. They had you outside that road and everything working.
They should. They need to put their butts to work. Instead of laying up getting free heat and free cable and free TV and free food and free water and free gas and electric. And all they got to do is go to some classes and some therapy classes during the week and sweep up around the place. No, you need to be made. No. And then the women is left outside the prison. They got to pay for all the things that I just told you about that's free for them. Who wouldn't want to go to prison?
I agree.
They got to change. This thing has got to change. They should get up in the morning working, and they shouldn't stop until they get ready to eat, and then go back for the rest of the evening, and don't stop until you eat dinner. And when you get finished, you ought to be able to create some sort of credit system where your dorm is allowed to have the lights and the gas and electric on, because everybody else out here got to work for it.
That's true. That'd be too much like rice.
And if the dorm don't work, ain't no water going to be on. Y'all won't have no bath and no shower. Everybody else is paying for them to lay up and parlay and be, no. That's not fair to us.
No, it's not.
Again, you know, then somebody be telling, well, that's violating our civil rights. No, you're supposed to work. We know the society shouldn't have to pay for you to go to prison, and you lay up and parlay for 5 years with stuff free. And then some people tell you when they get out, I'd rather be back in jail. It's too hard out here. You ain't been made to do nothing.
Nope. Can't make them do nothing. Nowadays, you can't make them do nothing. You're violating their rights. When you try to tell, you get grown people to do stuff, you're violating their rights. You upset them. They can get upset.
They need to be made to work. But dorm by dorm, they need to be able to create work credits. And this is how many credits you're going to need to keep the lights on and the water on. And we will provide you with food and something to wear, but you're going to have to work to keep the basic necessities on and the cable on. They got cable. They got cell phones. They got tablets. They go to gym free. The water is free. The heat is free. What else they got? They go to church. All that. They bring in people to do that. Their church is free. Our movie night. They have a...
Yeah, they do have movie nights. They have all that stuff. I mean, I was getting increasingly more and more frustrated from it, because the more you give people like that, the less you're not reforming anybody. You're not having them do anything. They can get down and lay down at any point in time they want to. I ain't going to work. I ain't got to do this. I ain't got to do that. You know, they used to hate it here in Georgia when I first started. Whenever a warden walked in the dorm, they all had to stand at a position of attention. Sir, good morning, sir. Ma'am, good morning, ma'am. It was all about respect, and everything had to be clean. Your uniform had to be pressed and clean and ironed, because if it wasn't, you were getting in a bunch of trouble. It gave them a sense of responsibility. So you had to learn how to take care of yourself and deal with stuff the right way. But it just turned into this, you know, I'm going to give them everything that they want. You know, there are bad occasions in there where somebody does something to somebody that they shouldn't do, and I think you need to punish those individuals. But all this whining and crying, oh, mama, they didn't feed me. Them folk beat me up. It's a couple of times, and I'm going to go ahead and say it's a couple of times I had to talk to a parent where y'all beat my son up. And I met one lady. I told her point blank to her face. I said, yeah, he got a little butt whooping. Did he tell you what he did? No, he didn't. Then as you find out what he did, then all of a sudden it's, oh, well. Mm-hmm. Those things, I mean, because when you let men just go, let them do whatever, this is the result?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I agree with you. I'm with you. I am with you 100%. But that's why they should be made to work. You can work and earn those very same things that I just talked about. But to just lay it out for free, why would they want to? Half of them don't want to come home. They don't want to get no jobs. They don't want to have to pay no child support. They don't want to have to be no parent. I'd rather go back to jail. Why? There's no fear of anything anymore. Nobody fears the police. They don't fear y'all. They don't fear jail. They just do whatever they want to do, and it's like, well, ain't nobody going to happen to me. They're going to let me out on bond anyway. And 90% of the people who have killed have been let out on bond for something that they've done previous.
That's true.
And I want to play this real quick before we go. I want you to hear this. Here we go. Check this out. Check it out.
And she was shot 8 times. I am so beyond disappointed and frustrated with this outcome. I do not understand. I just don't understand this.
I'm disgusted with our legal system. I'm disgusted with those jurors. I'm disgusted with the system. That you can allow 17 dead and 17 others shot and wounded and not give the death penalty. What do we have the death penalty for? What is the purpose of it? You set a precedent today. You set a precedent for the next mass killing, and nothing happens to you. You'll get life in jail. I'm sorry. That is not okay. As a country, we need to stand up and say that's not okay.
Now, these are parents that their children were involved in the Parkland school shooting. They all of them wanted him to get the death penalty. They gave him life without parole. They are livid. Do you hear me? They are livid. He said, what is the reason for the death penalty if this ain't the reason for it? Why wouldn't he get it? And it's so crucial because now the jurors is coming forth like we were scared in the jury room. We didn't know what the – we didn't know. One of the black guys was like, I left a note to ask them, could I speak to the judge? And they told me no.
Wow.
Breaking down, y'all. It's breaking down. It's a sad situation to be in. It's a sad day. We better do something. If you don't do something, I'm telling you, if you don't do something, they're going to do something. If you don't start listening to what we're talking about and understand what this is and what time this is, they're going to take it in their own hands. And when they do, it ain't going to be too much you're going to be able to do about it.
No. Nope.
Better start paying attention. I'm telling you. And I do think that the legal system needs to be revamped. The judicial system, the correctional system need to be revamped. All that needs to be done. And when they start taking the human element out of it and it becomes mechanical, you in big trouble then.
Oh, yeah.
You're in big trouble then. You're in big trouble. I had a dream a long time ago, and it scared me. This was years ago. I had a dream a long time ago that I was on Earth, and they loaded me in this space shuttle, and I was with these people. It was like congressmen and different people, and they took us to another planet where there was a prison system on this planet. And the way they had the system set up on the planet was they had chambers for the inmates. And they put these inmates in these chambers, and these chambers, like, went down in the ground. And that's where they stayed. They ate, they fed, they did everything, and they did their time. And when it came time for them to be released, the chamber would pop up, the inmate would come out, and then they would bring those inmates back to Earth. And it weirded me out because I was like, this is some strange stuff. But this was the way the system was in the dream.
Wow.
We ain't too far away from that.
No. If it was like that, nobody would want to go. I guarantee you that. I guarantee you that's the place then.
You know that's the truth. That's why I said take all the pedophiles and the murderers and all, put them off. If you don't want to live here, go live up there. You don't want to do right, go up there. I bet you wouldn't be no mess then. How much you want to bet?
It wouldn't be no mess.
Mm-mm. Or I put you in one of them underground prisons that's under the ground. How much you want? I bet you wouldn't be no mess then.
It just has to be
just do to put everybody in maximum security until they make themselves out, but give them out. 23 hour lockdown, 1 hour out for recreation. Just shut it down.
Can't have no contact. Yeah, I agree with that. Boy, make my life love that. I would have loved that. 23 hour lockdown.
You know, or chain gang. You out on the block. You out working on the street, out in the community, or out in the field working. You doing something.
You get tired. You be tired. You go to sleep at night. You set it up.
Yeah,
trying to
credit,
get over
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, there's no fear. There's just no fear. We just in a society where there's no fear. And nobody's scared of nothing no more. They just do whatever. They like, well, ain't nothing going to happen to me. They ain't make me do nothing. I'll get out and be on probation, and I'll be just fine. It's like, oh, my goodness. Like, you don't understand. You're killing off your own generation. It ain't even going to be none of y'all left if you don't stop.
Mm-hmm.
Just to prove a point. And like you said, as long as it was us, didn't nobody care. But now, like I said, these are school shooters, mass killers.
And they killing everybody.
Yeah, yeah. 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 Real talk. It's just, it's a sad day. They just called a black man serial killer in California. They just called him. They filed him until they got him.
Wow.
It's crazy. It's crazy. We got to do something, you guys. We got to think of an idea or something that says our black communities is going to have to start policing our black communities. You know, our black families is going to have to start policing our families. We're going to have to.
Yeah.
You're going to have to shut them. You know what? If anything, if you start boycotting them video games and all them violent games and stuff, take that mess back to the store and give it back to them. It is definitely influencing the mind of your young children.
Yes, it is.
But you don't have to listen to me. Who am I? I don't know nothing. You know, you got the door shut, and they in there with their friends, and they eating whatever and drinking whatever, and they playing, like Sister Rachel said, the game. They want a gun now. They don't want no cell phones and stuff. That's not a toy to them. They want a gun. You know why? Because they use it on the TV with the handheld thing with the video games.
Yep.
Using assault rifles. They shoot 9mm automatic guns on the video games.
Got that.
Now they want to do it for real. You better do something. We don't have no kids left. It ain't going to be no generation. My granddaughter's 24 years old. I mean, they shooting them down like it ain't nothing. It ain't going to be nobody. It really ain't. You know? So, I mean, you know, like we said, get rid of the violent video games, boycott the companies that make them violent, bloody video games. Don't buy no more of them. Put them down. Don't have they getting rich off of the fact that they influencing your children to do something heinous. Get rid of them video games. Change over the correctional system where everybody ain't laid back parlaying. Make them go to work and earn credits to have gas and electric, water, television, cable. They got all this stuff for free.
Yeah, they get all that for free.
For free. I used to get so mad. I'm like, well, what about the mothers y'all done left out here with all these kids to take care of? Because you locked up in here, and they got to pay for everything they using, but you get it free because you in jail. How that work?
That's a sad thing.
They must work. They should pay them a wage, put them to work, and send the money home for child support. They need to do something. But who am I? This is just saying. And you know what? If they don't do something now and it gets worse, y'all help us.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have to deliver us out of here because this, and that's probably what Jacob's trouble is going to be. Y'all, please, y'all, you're going to have to help us because, you know, and he said Jacob would be saved out of it. So, you know, it's just, they just leaving the door open for whatever happens. If something is not going to be done, you leaving the door open for something to happen.
Yep.
They should be made to be put to work. And we have to police our own community. So, I mean, you know, I don't know what else to say. I really don't know what else to say, but you know that's a start. Get rid of the violent video game. You know, take them to the coroner's office and let them see what happens when they have to cut a body open and remove a bullet for evidence. See what you have done with that. Because I'm gonna tell you something about the Most High. You're gonna pay for what you've done. You ain't gonna get away with killing somebody and walk free. I was telling my daughter that the other day. I said a lot of these people is walking around miserable because they got bodies attached to them. They done did stuff to people. They can't be happy. You ain't just going to take a life and live free. And you're probably miserable right now, toiling within your own self. You got to repent for that kind of stuff. You got to go before the Most High and truly repent. That you're not going to get this angle. And like I told my daughter, I said, some of these people is being murdered because they done murdered folks.
That's true.
No. Because the Most High is just and his ways are right. Ain't that what the lady said yesterday? Ain't that what the sister said? She said the Most High is just and his ways are right. And there's no way you can say he unjust when something come to your door because he going to bring back to your remembrance what you did. He did me like that one time. I saw something. I was like, that is terrible. He said, you did the same thing. All I could do was repent like, oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. I had already repented for it, but you know, like, you know, you got to be real with it. You're not going to get away with it. It don't just stop there. He see everything.
But most of it is they don't believe it.
No, until they come knocking at your door. Because it's going to come knocking. We don't know what these people is doing out here in these streets. You don't know what they done did. So a lot of, you know, we just, Lord, help us, y'all. Woo, have mercy on us, please. Brother Yerushalayim, we need you to pray. We really do. Can we get a prayer?
Yes, ma'am, most definitely. As normal, I'd give everybody just a second to turn to the east. We pray this prayer through Yeshua the Christ, and we pray that this prayer is acceptable. Father Yah, we ask that you come into our lives today as a nation, as a people. We ask you to heal our minds and our souls and our bodies. We pray that you touch our younger generation and even our older generation and help us get our minds right and our hearts toward each other right. We pray that the 400 years, the curse is over, and we pray that you can touch our hearts and get our hearts toward each other and start to show love toward one another and kindness toward each other. We pray that you look at these young men and women this day and touch their hearts and minds. We plead with you, Father, touch their hearts and minds. Get in the hearts and minds of the older generation so that we can get the spirit to go help like we should. And we just thank you, Father, for hearing us. And we pray that you understand why we do this and why we pray this prayer, because it is getting truly bad in our nation. But most of all, we pray for deliverance out of this land into a land where we can focus all upon you. We thank you for everything and all things you've given and provided us. And we say thank you for everything. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Thank you so much for that.
You're welcome,
All praises to the Most High and Holy Name, Yisrael. We thank you so much for all that you do. All right, everybody. Well, look, we're going to wrap it up for today. I hope you guys have enjoyed the show. You know, be thinking of some ideas and some stuff that we can do to help our communities, help our young people, because we got to get a hold on this. We ain't going to have no generation left. They're going to be to shot each other up because they think it's a normal thing to do, and it's not. And you're going to look back one day and regret that you have had the opportunity to take somebody's life. Please stop doing that. Please put them guns down. Because if you don't, they're going to come up with another solution, and you're not going to like it when they have to do it. So let us do it so they don't have to do it. So my advice is to get to your children, and whatever is in there that's promoting killing and all that, get rid of it. And their minds, or they haven't developed their minds, and this is the being an influence on their mind. Get rid of it. Let's start talking about being positive and having a positive community again, so we can get up out of here and go be with our Elohim. On that note, we say shalom, shalom to everyone, and we'll see you at our regularly scheduled programs. Shalom, shalom, everyone.
Shalom.